Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Welcome once again to the Well-Fed Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com. My name is Dave. With me, as always, is the Luke Skywalker to my Han Solo.
I think you've used that one before.
I don't think
so. You really need to start writing these down.
Anyway, Evan's here.
I mean, it's episode 200, for God's sake.
I know. It's episode 200. Evan's here again.
I am here again. Sorry.
We're coming to you live from Bunny's Bar and Grill in beautiful downtown St. Louis Park. It's a big, big show for us.
It's a big, big show.
This actually is the high water mark.
It's all about the base 10. 200 is a good number.
Good number. It's not going to get any bigger for us, I'm pretty sure.
Thanks.
Yeah. This is it.
Great.
This is the high water mark. We're done.
Fine.
Because we have easily our biggest guest ever on the show. I'm honored. I am a bit humbled that he's agreed to sit down
with us. I've been on the show before.
I know.
Not you.
We have culinary personality and all-around good guy, Mr. Andrew Zimmern, on this week's show.
How's it going, sir?
How is it going?
I'm a little confused. I thought I could be Phyllis to your Rhoda and Mary. I thought it might be a little more appropriate. What's the difference? Our waitress has just arrived. The difference between the regular wings, the regular drummies, or the Cajun? Or is that the same thing?
No, first of all, there's drummies and then there's wings.
Right, right.
The Cajun wings, it's a dry rub.
Right, I've had those.
Okay. The drummies are just the drumstick part of the chicken and the batter's thicker.
Yeah.
And there's no... You can get a buffalo style. But
okay, I want drummies plain.
Okay.
With that thicker batter, which I like the idea of, and then I also want an order of Cajun wings.
Okay. Do you want like ranch or honey mustard or barbecue with the drummies?
Just a little thing of blue cheese.
Okay.
I'm gonna do the French dip.
Do you want cheese on it?
No, thank you.
Fries, coleslaw, fruit chips.
I'll do the coleslaw.
All right.
I'm gonna do the BLT with avocado.
All right.
Do fruit, please.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
No way to keep it healthy.
You know, when you went with no cheese, a huge mistake.
Really?
Well, how do you hold the French dip together?
Faith.
All right. Yeah. No, that's cool.
Blind luck.
That's
just
cool.
Blind luck.
That's cool.
Which is also how we ended up with you on the show.
Pretty much.
Just complete and absolute blind luck.
You asked.
That was another part of the luck.
We'll set this up.
Yep.
We both work 9-to-5 jobs.
Yep.
And we both work in IT, so we're constantly communicating. We're in complete opposite ends of the earth, so we don't work for the same company. But we can communicate through Instant Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "You're never going to believe what just happened." And that was the first thing I guessed. Because I'm like, that would be the ultimate guest.
Well, that's awesome.
So
that's awesome.
We are
not to build you up too much.
Exactly.
No. I had a conversation with somebody. This actually, it happened Saturday night in Vegas at around 10 o'clock in the evening, as I was sitting backstage at Muhammad Ali's 70th birthday party, and I mean there was like 8 or 9 Oscars. Between the 3 or 4 guys that I was talking to, about 9 world championship belts with the box. I mean, there was this little group that we were all just talking, you know, about 8 million Grammys, because between LL Cool J, Quincy Jones, George Clooney, Terrence Howard, and like Quincy has won a gazillion Oscars and Grammys.
Oh, yes.
Right. Right? And, you know, Hagler, Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard, George Foreman, Leon Spinks, Boom Boom Mancini, Manny Pacquiao, all these guys were just hanging out backstage. Stevie Wonder. I mean, it was backstage at Muhammad Ali's 70th birthday party in the little walk-in area kind of slash VIP lounge there. And I was standing there for 6 hours because that's where my crew was. We were filming the food as part of our Bizarre Foods 100th episode special in Las Vegas. And so it was this weird intersection. So everyone there was like sports or Hollywood A-listers, but all they wanted to talk about was food. And the chefs there was myself, Tom Colicchio, Michael Mina, Scott Conant, and Wolfgang Puck. And we're standing backstage. I mean, just all of us.
Amateurs.
All of us are just hanging out backstage. And at one point, one of my crew guys, because I'm always joking when we're someplace, I'm like, why would they let a C-list mid-level cable guy like me in somewhere? And to be honest with you, that's always how I sort of felt about it. And what my friend, who I'm always joking with about this on our set, came to me and, you know, how do I say this with humility and not sounding like a complete asshole?
You've named your audience is smarter. Already?
I know. Unavoidable. You're absolutely right. To be able to sit, you know, to be there with those guys and hanging out and, you know, I was doing the whole, hey, can I have your picture thing? And then a whole bunch of them, all the ones that have kids, are like, I watch your show with my kids. This is unbelievable. LL Cool J wouldn't leave me alone. And
He's clingy.
Yeah. He's clingy. And it was absolutely thrilling. George Foreman came running down, well, waddling. He's, because of his legs, he's in great shape.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, bad hips and knees. And he chased me down earlier in the evening when I was alone, screaming, get over here. When are we going to eat something? How come you never had me on your show? He's like, I watch it all the time. You know, and he's got 4 kids, all of whom are named George. And, you know, grandchildren. He wants the whole crew. He's got to come down to the house and eat. So my friend said to me, I think it's time you stop referring to yourself as a mid-level cable TV C-list guy.
Can you upgrade yourself to a B? Can you do that to yourself?
Now that I'm on this show, I'm definitely a B+.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Plus.
It's over the hump there.
Wow.
Thank you for pushing me.
That's how we are.
Yeah. What'd you guys do on Saturday?
I went.
Same thing, mostly.
Yeah.
I just missed you. You were on the other side.
Yeah, the other side.
Where that security rope was, we were the rope.
Yeah. Actually. We were holding the rope.
That's how we're supplementing our income.
Yeah. Who do you think of everyone there had the largest security entourage?
I would say not Quincy Jones, because he frightens me in general, so I'm sure he wouldn't need a lot of security.
I'll go with Clooney.
Not even by half.
Really?
Colicchio. Yep. He strikes me as a guy that needs some protection.
Guys in white shirts, yeah. Oprah.
Yeah. I could see that.
It was like she had everything except the Pope mobile.
When she walked in the room, did like a glow behind her? Like, did she have her own lighting come with her?
That's done. That's because one of her fans self-immolated themselves in tribute. Okay. I have never in all of my days seen anything like. I've been in the room with her now 2 or 3 times at TV events and stuff like that where she shows up, and then at the Ollie thing, and I've never before in my life, all 3 times, seen so much security for one person.
Estimate,
who's not a king or a president.
Right. Estimate, like, we're talking hundreds of?
No. Just inside with her, about 8. But you have to think about that. Usually when you see a group like LL Cool J, there was a big security guy with him.
Yeah.
Then there was a mid-sized guy who I figured was both security and sort of like best man, you know, to like handle whatever he's. And then the rest was like, you know, his agent was there and a businessman, you know, because they all go around and they sort of help, you know, at big events someone will have. Right. So he had a crew with him. But it was like 4 people, you know, and the biggest folks would just have, you know, Clooney had a security guy with him. I'm sure he had a driver, another security guy outside, but it's like, you know, it's very modest because security in general at the whole block is closed down at the MGM Grand. You can't get near the place. I mean, just the hotel provides, you know, it was nuts. Oprah had it was like she had the Secret Service.
And I'm sure she's got like clean clothes guys with them too. So it's like you just saw 8, but there was really like 20 guys.
Yeah,
out there.
It was pretty fun. It was pretty fun.
Wow.
Good food too. So
nice. Well, moving from the MGM Grand.
Yep.
To Bunny's.
Yep.
Now we gave you the option.
I'm here more than I am.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
We gave you the options, like pick wherever you want.
Yep.
We were hoping it was a place we'd never been to because we don't like to double up. But
sure.
For you we would have.
Yep.
You know, luckily that didn't happen. Why bunnies? Because this is definitely a place we probably wouldn't have picked on our own.
First of all, bunnies, we're recording this on President's Day, so it's not crowded.
Right.
No.
At lunch, it's packed. The place is a zoo. There's great energy here. They have decent burgers. They have pretty good wings. But there's no place that I can relax more. I can go into the other room and play, you know, a round of Big Buck Hunter or, you know, Space Invaders. I can watch ESPN and catch up on whatever I didn't see the night before.
Right.
I can have a Diet Coke in the corner and no one bothers me, and a basket of wings for lunch. And I do a lot of business meetings here.
Okay.
And the folks in my office, there's four people who work for my company, Foodworks, and the whole team is at a table nearby. Because since I was coming here, they're like, oh yeah, we'll come and we'll eavesdrop and we'll get some wings too. We get food to go from here. If you need a burger, it's physically the closest place to our office. Okay. We're just three or four blocks away. But the best part is there's a goofy aspect to this place, because during the day, you know, they open early, they start serving booze early. So if you're here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon for a late lunch right after the big rush, you'll see, you know, some goofy stuff. You know, old men with dogs in their lap buying shots for each other and telling stories, and waitresses doing shots with them. And, you know, this is just an old school. It's an old school bar. Now, they remodeled.
It used to. This hasn't always been Bunnies.
No, well,
it used to be like.
Always has. They just got the big room. This place has expanded, I think, twice.
Right.
But it's, it's crazy. And here comes lunch.
All right.
Right here.
See, the nice thing about Bunnies. By the way, great choices. I've had the French dip before. I've had the BLT. See, I always double down on wings.
I need your phone.
This one? Which one?
I need to look at your calendar. I can't look at mine.
Oh.
I'm here.
I figured you were coming to vulture the wings.
Oh, I'm taking one. Thank you. And if you have any dollar bills.
Yeah, I do have dollar bills.
I'm babysitting my children while
we're might get a bite of that, though.
That's it. Get changed.
You know, me being the big coleslaw guy I am.
So, neither one of you went fries. I usually get two different types of wings.
Okay.
And then I take some to go.
Are you a bad customer? Like, are chefs bad customers at restaurants?
No, best customers in the world.
Really? Because I think of, like very specific ordering.
No.
Okay,
the exact opposite.
Really?
Yeah. I would never ask someone for anything to be changed in a dish, just because it's so, it kills me in a certain level of restaurant. I mean, look, when you have a burger and they say, what would you like on it? Then you're just asking for something that everyone will add, subtract, substitute. I'm not talking about that. But when someone walks into a restaurant and says, can I have the fettuccine Alfredo, but no garlic, I want extra tomatoes. We don't have any tomatoes in the fettuccine Alfredo. It's a cream, you know, and they start building their own dish.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on, this isn't a taco bar at the Holiday Inn. You're in a restaurant. Behave like you've been there before. The chef wants to, you know, the food is designed that way for a reason.
Right.
You know, now, there are a lot of exceptions to that, and I'm not trying to bust someone's balls that tells somebody at the Szechuan restaurant, go easy on the heat or whatever.
Right.
Everyone's used to that kind of thing.
Right.
We all know what we're talking about. It's when people start reinventing the menu or cutting and pasting. I see you have, the guacamole with the fish tacos. Can I get that, but instead put it with the pork chop and the black beans
right.
that come under the swordfish? It's like, you know something? You got to stop playing that game.
Right. Don't make it harder than it needs to be.
I'm a great tipper.
See, I'm with you on that, because, you know, I've managed to avoid food service in all of my low-paying jobs. I've somehow managed.
I know it worked out pretty well for me.
Well, I got nothing against it, but somehow that's like the one low-paying job I've never done.
Okay.
But I always try to overtip, just because if anything, to make up for all of the people that think that the wait staff and all of that aren't entitled to a tip. They've got some weird anti-tipping fetish.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to make up for that.
Here's the deal. Anybody who brings me a beverage, says hello and goodbye, he's entitled to the same percentage that I would give for quote unquote good service. I mean, bare minimum. 99% of the time, bad service in a restaurant has to do, to customers' points, their food is late, even though that has nothing to do with the server. It's a problem in the kitchen. Sometimes the servers can't get to them as quickly as they would like to be gotten to. A lot of times that's management not putting enough servers on the floor.
Right.
There's a lot of different issues involved. I just tip the same everywhere I go. I find it a lot easier. I also don't want to ever see my name on Twitter, Facebook, or one of those lists at the end of the year, you know, five celebrity tippers and why they suck. You know, I mean, I just don't want to be part of that story.
Right.
Nice.
So when you are in town,
yeah,
this is one of the hangouts. Are there any other...
Once a week when I'm in town. I'm here 20 weeks out of the year, so it's not that much.
Okay. So, well, I did see you at the fair this year.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the
I always take the whole week off.
The Barrero show. Mm-hmm. I was there for the entire interview. That was the highlight of my...
Dan Barrero being one of the local radio guys. Mm-hmm. For people that are listening outside of the area.
He's a good friend of mine. I've been doing that show a lot ever since he came on.
Yeah.
I also think he's the gold standard for drive time radio.
Yeah.
Currently now. I like his blend. And I like the fact that his personality is in the DNA of that show. And that's the way it should be.
Now, do you hit up... We do what we've termed as the State Fair Death March.
Uh-huh.
Where we basically try to kill ourselves with fried foods and whatnot. Do you hit up any other fairs during the course of the year? I mean, is there...
Well, I've been to about 7 states fair.
Okay.
And it is like, you know, RBI.
Right.
It's a different, you know, the plural. You have to be very, very careful when you're talking about states fair.
I'll have another one.
Okay. How you doing otherwise?
Doing great.
All right.
Thank you. You know, I've done Iowa and Wisconsin and Arizona and Texas and California and New York and what else? I'm missing one or two in there. But yeah, I absolutely love them. My wife used to work at the state fair a long time ago, Minnesota one.
Okay.
And we both adore it. So does our son. So we go every day. Sometimes we just go for 2 hours, but we go every single day of the run.
Wow. Is there a must eat every time you're there?
Oh gosh, are you kidding me? The gizmo sandwich, the footlong.
Do you get the gizmo or do you get the loose meat?
The gizmo.
Because they do the loose, the old school loose meat with the onions and the mustard and all the good stuff.
I'm not as much of a loose meat sandwich.
Okay.
As I am a gizmo.
Okay.
The gizmo is, I think, one of the best items up there.
Right.
Love the footlong, the city minis, the curds.
Right.
What else do I get? I don't go for a lot of the gimmicky stuff. I don't do the obvious stuff. It's just bad quality, like that sliced steak sandwich that's down by the Sky Ride. It's terrible. Pork chop on a stick, I'm very particular about because it can't be overcooked. I like the turkey sandwich. And there's a key to ordering the pork chop on a stick. I mean, you got to get it when they're really busy and they're running... going through a lot of them, so they're not sitting around and drying.
You're not getting the ones from leftover from last night,
right?
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do we do? Sausage Sisters is great.
Do you do like the corn dog or the prono pup or anything like that?
I'm a prono pup.
Are you a prono pup?
I'm a prono pup guy.
All right.
My kid's a corn dog kid.
All right. So,
and there is a difference. Pronto is more pancakey batter. Corn dog is corn bread batter.
Nothing makes me happier to hear you say that because my entire I go three times during the course of the year. I go with the two of us, and I go with once with my dad and my brothers, and then once with my mom and my brothers. And I'm the only one in the family that is the Pronto pup guy.
I think it's a better tasting dog.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm vindicated.
Don't yell at me here. It's not my fault. I didn't make the corn dog.
No, it's a lot of fun. I just love the state fair.
It's an atmosphere. I mean, it's like a slice.
Do you go to
Minnesota?
See the seed art and the
Absolutely.
Bunnies and the chickens and you do the
thing? We won't do it.
We won't do it for our show.
But I'll absolutely I do all the barns and everything.
Yeah.
The only one I can't do is the...
Next year's goal is to get you into the butterfly cage.
Right.
Why? It's awesome.
I'm a little one of those things, you know, flying around your head type of deal.
Uh huh.
A little phobic.
A little phobic. A little phobic. Right. Makes me nervous.
Well, well, you also dislike heights.
Right.
And we got you on the sky chairs or whatever those are called last year, and that was podcast gold.
You got to come with me and my kid. He's all over that. I got to keep him from swinging from the bottom of the
thing. I mean, just
you
sheer
just made
terror.
Him sick just thinking.
Sheer, like the sky ride and the Space Needle, sheer terror.
The best part about the sky ride is that as you go over some of the metal buildings up on Machinery Hill where they wheel the car dealerships used as our ground zero, you can see all the crap that people have thrown down there.
Oh, yeah.
And the best thing of all is that the Sweet Martha's cookies, something that Noah loves, and I can have one or two when they're hot.
Right.
When they get cold, I'm just not interested. People throw them down on the metal roof of the thing. And the ones that are there from the first day, they eventually slide off or rained off, whatever, but they leave behind, they discolor the metal. So look for it next time. It'll absolutely freak you out. It's like pouring Coca-Cola on the hood of a car. You're like, why am I eating? It's scary that it does that.
Why am I putting
little known fair trivia.
Why am I doing this?
Little known fair trivia.
Oh my god.
I had a question. And we talked to so few actual proper chefs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious about this. There is a story last week, I think it was. And I forget all of the relevant names, but it's more of a generic question. There is a Food Network show that the person in charge of it, they ended up canceling the show and ruining her reputation because there was an accusation that she was stealing recipes from other people and changing them slightly. Like she had taken this Martha Stewart recipe and slightly changed it, and for some reason that's plagiarism. And from the look on your face, I think I know what the
answer is.
I wish I could remember. It's some dessert show. It's a newer one.
I think actually it's on the Cooking Channel.
Maybe it's on the Cooking Channel. I don't know. But it's a newer show. I think they're only in like their second season or something like that.
Sure.
And so they cancel production of the show, and there's all of this foo-fra about, oh, she's stealing recipes from all these people and changing them. And is from my layperson perspective, to me, recipes, I don't know if that's something you can really steal. Like, is that something, and especially if you're modifying them on your own. And I also think of, like, when big restaurants, they fail, and if it's two guys in charge of it, they go off to do their own thing. There's always some accusation where one was stealing recipe from the other. And
there's a big difference. There's a big difference between violating the ethical principles of stealing somebody else's creative mojo versus using techniques and dishes that are standards and putting your own spin on them. I'll give you an example. Creme brulee is a liaison of, you know, egg, sugar, cream or milk, and some combination depending on what recipe you're using, some vanilla, etc., right? Torch it with sugar. In Las Vegas last week, I was at Masa. I had a miso creme brulee that was dynamite. I had a vanilla one the other night at our favorite little French bistro in town. I had a chocolate one, you know, the week before that at some, you know, swank little Italian brasserie. I mean, you have, everyone is going to do a different flavor, and the recipe may be slightly different by a couple of grams or ounces here or there, depending on the texture, but it's creme brulee, right? However, if Martha has like a cornbread shortbread with strawberries and it's decorated with little blueberry cookie stars, okay?
I've actually had that.
And it looks a certain way because it's then red, white, and blue, and it was in her magazine. And then someone else, magazine article or TV show, creates an identical thing and doesn't give her credit,
Right. That's
then a problem. Because the decor, the look and feel of the dish, the intent is not your own. You're lifting something of someone else's.
So it's the same thing like sampling music.
Well, yeah, exactly. I have a chili recipe. I mean, you know, chili is chili is chili, but along the way I find ways to differentiate, etc. What was a recipe that I... There was one that I just published. Oh, coconut pie. I was down in a restaurant in Savannah, Georgia, and I had a coconut pie dish that was finally the one I've been searching for my whole life, right? I mean, here was the... And I said, can I have the recipe? Because I'd love... to include it in my food and wine column that I write for Food and Wine Magazine. And she's like, sure. So there's going to be a nice blurb. You know, I was driving through Charleston and I found the perfect recipe. Here it is. I tweaked it to make it a little easier for the home cook, blah, 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 blah. But there's a way to present someone else's work rather than presenting it as your own.
Okay.
So right? there was probably a misconception that she was actually trying to take credit for coming up with the recipe.
I would assume, because here's the deal. On Food Network and Cooking Channel, with the volume of recipes they go through, I mean, you know, all of those daytime shows, you know, like Easy Peasy Meals in Minutes and, you know, 8-Ingredient Makeover or whatever those things are, there is no real, quote-unquote, original content. I mean, you know, one day they're doing, you know, quick pork tacos. I mean, they didn't invent the taco. Right. I mean, no one else has done that dish
before. Sandra Lee did not invent the taco.
Right. Right.
Might have to check Wikipedia.
That's
she probably takes credit for it.
Yeah, probably will.
She can do it in 5 ingredients or less, though. Dead doll eyes.
Now I'm really curious about what show it was.
I think I know who it was, and I don't remember because the show... dessert shows just do nothing for me. I mean, just some of the... Most of those cooking shows...
This is why you need staff.
Yeah, I suppose.
Hey, Molly, what was the dessert show on the Cooking Channel that just got canceled because of food plagiarism?
Oh, that lady.
That lady.
Let's see.
It's Ann something.
Ann, dessert first, of course, my
I should have asked Patty and Raph.
We'll find out.
All right. Yeah. But I read that and we need
people.
We do need people. We're not good for anything. Right. So we need somebody responsible. I just read that and the comments were really funny because there was a lot of people that were coming at us like, how do you, because to me, and I'll find the article by the time the show comes out, we'll put it in the show notes. But to me, it was more like they were doing like a lemon curd. And they were just doing, like, they...
Their
just,
version.
They just, like, tweaked how much, like, cinnamon was on or something. Like, it was something, like, really minor. And it was... Part of it... There was this whole through line in the credits that were like, you don't want to piss off Martha. That's how people get disappeared. which I think is valid. But there's a lot of people that are just... It seemed odd to a lot of people that you could, quote-unquote, steal a recipe. Especially if you're making your own tweaks. Like, I understand, like, just lifting it and just reprinting it as your own. Mm-hmm. But I just thought the whole situation was kind of odd.
So there has to be more to this story.
Mm. Right.
You know what I mean?
Maybe she killed somebody.
It's possible.
You know, well, no, it's not killed somebody. It's just that, you know, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Let's say Food Network was doing a book with this person.
Sure.
You know, and I'm just guessing here. Yeah. But if you have 150 recipes that Food Network is paying for to test and blah, 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 and it's been delivered to the publishers and they find out that 100 of those recipes are not this person's, then that's a reason... It's not just the recipe on the TV that people are doubting. There's more to the story kind of thing.
Okay.
And that could be it, too.
All right. Do you want to talk about the food real quick?
Sure.
You did the French dip.
I did the French dip. I'm eating a little bit light today, so I only had half a sandwich. It's good. It's a little dry.
That's what the dip's for.
I know, but the dip's good. So it wasn't.
See, if you'd gotten cheese, it would have been much better.
That's true. I should have
followed his retroactive advice.
I know.
Way to go, Jared. How's the coleslaw?
Coleslaw is kind of flavorless.
Mm-hmm. Give me a hit of that.
All right.
I'm the coleslaw.
You
guy.
Liked
I'm
your
the
BLT.
I destroyed it. It was.
Now, do you remember what we said when I sat down, when you guys were trying to figure out what to order?
You said a lot of things. I don't remember all of it. No.
Burgers.
Yeah, it's true.
Wings.
Right.
Yes. And we got neither.
Yeah, we got neither.
Yeah. No, the BLT was very good.
Very poor listeners.
Yeah, well.
No, you went with your instincts.
Yeah.
But don't discount bunnies, you know, over one.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, you know, the BLT, it was very good. The bacon.
Have a wing.
There's a good amount.
Try the do, please. There's right. the Cajun right. and try a normal drum because they actually okay. batter them. They batter them
for company. I will.
They
go against
batter
my
them
thing.
Here.
Okay. You know?
I mean, they do them here. It's not a frozen thing. It's a good win.
This was a mistake. Not getting more wins.
Well, it's not the first mistake you've made today.
That's a nice win.
Yeah, it's very good. I went with the basic one, I think. Yeah, I didn't get the Cajun one. I think
no, he got the awesome. The Cajun one's great. They pull them out of the fire, dust them in their own spices. The regular ones go in a batter.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like little chicken.
Batter's extremely good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
Mm. So...
Man.
There you go. Next time we do this, you'll order correctly. Where do you guys normally eat in the Twin Cities?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
We've been to 100 and not counting 3 State Fair shows and 1 repeat of Psycho Susie's when they switched locations.
Do you always pick a different location?
Yeah, every week it's a different place.
Yeah, so we've been to, you know, well over 180, 190.
If you had one meal to eat in the Twin Cities, where do you go?
Oh, my God.
Depends on... Well, luckily, I live...
Bar La Grasa.
We love it. We love it there. My wife and I love
I live in Northeast, so I kind of have a lot of different options relatively close because I'm extremely lazy and don't like driving. So, you know, Sample Room is a place my wife and I have been going to quite a bit.
I mean, I take it back. I'd say Sample Room.
Really? All right.
Yeah, Sample Room we go to quite a bit. I've been doing more exploring of the area that I call Foreign Town, which is the stretch of Central that's all of the you know, Holy Land, Fawcett, and all that stuff. We did Crescent Moon Bakery a couple weeks ago. Yep. That was fantastic.
Uh-huh.
We're big fans of Holy Land.
Yep.
You know, been there. We haven't done a show from Holy Land yet, but...
Tacoriendo.
Tacoriendo's good.
Senyas and Luck.
You're a bigger fan of Senyas and Luck than I am.
I love that.
I like it there, too.
Yeah. It's always one of those things because we do the show so much based, you know, on the location, on how tired we are.
Sure.
On Monday nights. You know, because I'll get out of work at 5 and go drive from Edina, where I work, up to Northeast Minneapolis to pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it's like 6 or so, and we still have to drive to the spot, record.
It's really
show.
Like a married couple.
It really
like,
is.
Where do you feel like going?
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you guys eaten Atelier yet?
We tried.
We tried.
We ended up at
the place right next door.
Just closed.
Yep.
Did that close?
It closed.
Damn.
But we ended up going there next door and had an awesome meal.
Mm-hmm.
But we got in there and we actually left work early to go there that day. And so we got there at like 4 in the afternoon and it was a zoo. I mean, like 50 minute wait already.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we're like, can't pull the trigger.
I mean, that's been one of the fun things with doing this show is that, you know, we stick to, you know, we've been mostly Minneapolis. We've been branching out to doing St. Paul and some of the suburb stuff. But, you know, we've been doing, you know, like you said, we've been doing over 190 different locations. There's still places we haven't gotten to.
Right.
And there's still new places opening up. I'm hoping that whatever is going into the old Hell's Kitchen / other place / the inn. Whatever goes into that location, we can break our record for being in the same building 4 times.
In a calendar year.
It was about a year and a half, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Ann Thornton is the person who got fired. They're waving.
And did she get...
Patty was right.
Of course you were. And did she really... Was the show canceled because she was plagiarized? How do you plagiarize food recipes?
Well,
it's just like if you take like Martha's actual idea and setup and like the picture and the look and feel, but like if you're making chili,
you should explain that.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm hoping that something can go into that space. It's a great location. I don't see why that...
It's a great location, but look at the location that Goodfellas was in that then became the Forum.
Right.
Yeah.
It was empty for...
That's the saddest thing in the world.
3 years in between, or 4 years in between Goodfellas closing and Forum, and it's going to be empty probably for another 5.
Gorgeous space. I can't believe
it's a gorgeous... Well, this city is so messed up when it comes to restaurants. I mean, you know, from arcane liquor laws to... too few licenses, to inability to okay outdoor seating, to neighborhood zoning, to you know, the topsy-turvy real estate prices between downtown
where there's only lunch being served, right, and people are still trying to get people to pay 24-hour day service prices. I mean, it's not Midtown New York. I mean, it's like, you know, it's downtown Minneapolis. What's going to happen is, well, what's happening now, which is you have a version of every chain in the world downtown that can afford to be there, and all the great restaurants will be in the neighborhoods. And, I mean, you're already seeing that right now. I mean, you know, La Grasse's in the Warehouse District, there's a lot of... I'm fine with it, too, but I think what it does is it makes your downtown less vibrant. Right. And then you end up with a situation like Atlanta, where you basically roll up the carpets at 6 o'clock at night, and there's nothing going on down there. It's a wasteland. And I'm just, you know, I'm from New York. I want to see people on the streets of my downtown walking.
All things being equal, where would you rather open up a place, Minneapolis or New York?
Given
a restaurant, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Between only those two places.
Well, you asked me that question.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of personal stuff there. I live here, so the answer is here.
That makes it easy.
You know, I mean, I have a 7-year-old.
Right.
You know, he goes to school here, he has friends here, we live here.
Yeah.
You're married, right?
Yes.
But if two young guys came to me and said, we're going to open up a restaurant, where do we put it? I say, you go to the place you can do the most business, because then you can go and open one up in your place of passion. The restaurant business is so difficult. Now, look what Steven's done at Tilia. After 3 or 4 restaurants where everyone said, oh my gosh, the best food in the city, he had to close every one of them or leave it for one reason or another. He then finally decided to put something in his neighborhood where he could, quote unquote, walk to work and where his family could come hang out. And he created Tilia, and it's a huge smash in the neighborhood because he gave his own neighborhood, a place he understands better than anyone. He is his own demographic. He gave them what they needed. And that's a fantastic thing. You know?
Yeah.
And it worked.
So I'm going to switch gears just a little bit, just because this irked me to no end.
I want to unirk you.
I grew up in a Jewish and Methodist household.
Sure.
When on God's sweet, beautiful green earth, are we going to have a decent deli in town? Is it possible?
It's the easiest concept in the world to do. For the life of me, I can't understand it.
I mean, seriously.
The amount of shit that I've taken for just telling the truth, which is that all the ones that have opened, Mort's was the worst deli concept and the most poorly executed food of its type that I'd seen since Rye opened.
Rye is,
you know.
I went there last week. It's bad. We cannot do a show from there. I'm hereby saying it's not happening.
I don't get it. And now they've fixed a couple things. People go back and they're like, yeah, you know, it's a little bit better, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, you know something? It's not.
I want kugel like my grandmother used to make it. I want chopped chicken liver like my grandmother used to make it. And
here's the deal. All those things are 5 ingredients. And what it is that the people who are making it do not have that food in their DNA. If you want great Chinese food, you don't go to Peiwei. All right? And you've got some pimply-faced 19-year-old from Albert Lee sitting there reading the recipe that's on an index card laminated above the hood according to the prefab food that comes in little bags.
Right.
And, you know, I'm pro pimply kid from Albert Lee.
Right.
But I'm, you know, if you want great Chinese food, you know, go where someone is cooking it who knows what they're doing.
Right.
That in most cases, that does mean it's...
Right.
A Chinese person, because they understand the food.
What else?
I'm good right now.
I'm good. Can I get a box?
Okay.
So
I don't need a box.
All right.
Thank you. There's.
We're taking you out.
No, absolutely not. Here's the.
All right.
Well, thank you.
I mean, come on.
I'm still gonna expect you to pay for your half, though.
Okay.
Of course. Not. Your guests don't take you out?
No.
As a thank you for being on the show?
It's the only way we can get people on normally, is bribing them with food.
With a free lunch?
Yeah, that's how we got Stephanie on. I bribed her.
That's
food,
messed
so.
Up.
I know.
She's really tired.
That's messed up. Yeah. Here's the deal. The with Rye, you have an owner who, instead of having it in his lifeblood to do it, hired a consultant to, and right away, there's something wrong with that picture. And it's not because Toby is not, Needitz isn't good at his job. It's that, why do you need a, I mean, it's like, why are you going into the restaurant art business as a first timer? This is the same mistake that Jim Ringo made, thinking, I mean, a lot of people do it. The restaurants are very seductive. It's like the prettiest girl at the bar that you take home, but it was one in the morning when you made that decision, and you, it just, it's harder than it looks. Well, it's harder than it looks.
I think it's like the AARP commercials where they're talking about, oh, what are you going to do when you're going to grow up? And there's always that guy that's like, I'm going to open a restaurant. I'm like, well, if, I don't know if that's something you do at that point.
It's just so hard. I mean, you have to know what you're doing. And, you know, the consultant only has so much skin in the game, you know? And who are the cooks? I mean, you know, if you told, I've talked about this a lot. There are a couple other, you know, Jew food people in town, like myself, and there's a couple of us regularly joke about this at least once a year. And if we got together, you'd hire the right people, you have the right folks, you have people where it's in their DNA. They, I mean, what was shameful about Rye is that you still go there, you try the soup, and it's still horseshit.
Right.
Now they're not even serving. There's no one there who's even tasting the food and saying, "Wow, it's this is good or bad." You know, it's just, it's, I don't know, it's an insult. Worst thing about Rye was the smoked fish, the whitefish salad.
Yeah.
Whitefish salad, for non-Jews out there, is like saying tuna fish salad. It's a mix, it is a thing. Whitefish is blended with other ingredients to make something that resembles a tuna fish salad, but it's made with whitefish.
Right.
Whitefish. One of the greatest things in the whole world. We happen to live in a part of the world where all the best whitefish comes from.
Right.
There used to be a train that left from Duluth to New York City called the Passover Express. That it was a 12-month-a-year train, but it was all the whitefish from the lakes that would go to the Jewish neighborhoods in the eastern cities. You go up to Russ Kendall's Smokehouse or half a dozen, dozen other places up on the North Shore, and you'll have some of the best smoked fish in the world, okay?
It doesn't ever make it home,
so
because you eat it in the,
all
car.
All you have to do is take that and mix it up in small batches.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long to chop a little celery and onion and mix it with a few goodies. So all you have to do is just is do that. It's one of the easiest recipes in the whole world. And because the fish is already smoked, it'll last for, you know, I don't know.
As long as you can keep
2 days,
off of
you know, right? I mean, long enough so that you can make a batch, sell 10 or 12 portions, and even for 24, you know, it's like it works. It you know, from a restaurant standpoint, it works out. I ordered the whitefish salad there, and what came was a dried chunk of a chub that had shrunk back from the bones where it was cut. Clearly had been cut several days beforehand, put in a tray, and then put on top of bagged, unwashed spinach leaves. I mean, you could see all the broken stuff. I mean, you could just see what they did. They took spinach out of it, put this thing on top, threw these rotten onions and tomato slices around the side, and gave you a side of what, to my mind, and taste buds, was less of a horseradish sauce than Arby's horsey sauce. It was disgusting. I mean, I'm just like, oh, bad.
So not a fan, is what I'm hearing.
No, although a friend of mine, Rick Nelson at the Star Tribune, gave it a good review.
Right.
I emailed him.
I went there the day he published that.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, I read Andrew's article. I read his article. Let's give it a whirl. It was an abomination.
Yeah.
It was, the thing that really offended me was the Google. I don't know if you've had
it. Yeah, I had that too.
Is that it was just so off.
A tiny little square of, it weighed like seven pounds though.
Yeah.
They made it so, it was so horrific. Now, I make Passover, I mean, this is the food that I learned how to cook first.
Sure.
I make a kugel about 10 times a year.
Okay.
You know, almost once a month.
Sure.
Summer, I don't think we have one in July and August. The other months, we have one every...
It's not kugel.
Because I wrote... Well, because here's what I do. I do a brisket
in the
oven, and we eat off it all week long, and I always make a small kugel to go for the first night, because it's fun. It's a great Friday night Shabbos dinner. You know, the friends over, it's easy. It's a great starch. And it's for non-Jews, it's just like a noodle pudding.
Right.
It's a savory noodle pudding that you serve on the side, and with roast brisket... you know, and something, you know, some nice salty salad. It's delicious, right? Little bit of, you know, red cabbage, sweet sour red cabbage. Ideal dinner. It's like five ingredients. It's five fucking ingredients. How do you get it wrong? How does it turn out that it was dense and brown on the inside? Like it had grayed out.
Right.
Like it had been filled into a mold like the week before and then cooked later after it kind of turned. The potato pancakes, same deal. They were gray on the inside. The potatoes had oxidized prior to them. I'm just like, oh my God, who does this?
I had one raisin in the entire square of Google. One white raisin.
One lonely,
sad little raisin.
Little raisin. That's a shame. One of my favorite things to do, historically, for the last 20 years in the Twin Cities, is complain about the delis. I'm sure I'm hated by more deli owners in this town because every single one that opens sucks. And everybody raves about, you know, Cecil's and some of these other places, and there's like one or two good things there, and the rest is not good. I don't get people. The emperor has no clothes, and it's not good, like, as in, oh, there's some secret thing because I'm a New York City Jew that I've some standard. This is what's insulting to me. I'm insulted. Seriously.
Way to poke the mayor.
Now I'm really pissed off because they insult me by insinuating that I'm too picky or I'm ascribing, holding those restaurants some sort of higher authority that I'm the only wink-wink insider. And it has nothing to do with that. And it's not that they don't hit the mark on the classic Jew fare like Kugel. It's that the other food is so poorly fucking cooked.
Right.
You know, if you're going to do scrambled egg, you got to make it's hard to make a good scrambled egg or a burger or a, you know, a corned beef sandwich. I mean, use bread that isn't stale. Warts. I mean, they kept the bread underneath it. You could feel where it had been underneath the heat lamp. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Did you have the pickles in the eye? Did you have their pickle?
Yes. The pickles, here's
the
deal.
Why must you keep poking the bear?
You ready for this? I took the only picture that I published on my blog, I think, was of the pickles because they were... I make homemade pickles all the time, and I publish my recipe on my Minnesota blog at msbmag.com for my vinegar ones. I do also do my grandfather's natural fermented ones, with just salt and water, garlic and herbs, and a couple chilies. But I took pictures of it. I made a big deal at holiday time because we gave them out as gifts. And I make pickles every summer and fall. Sure. I mean, this is how I grew up, and I can't get a good pickle here, so I've got to make them myself.
Right.
The ones at Rye didn't have the right amount of salt in the water, so they under-fermented. So they were, when they came out, A, they were wrinkled, B, they were soft, and C, you could get someone sick.
Right.
This is just ridiculous.
It was weird. It was weird tasting. That's the only way. Because
say that the people at Rye don't know what they're doing is like saying that none of us wanted to make out with Britney Spears when she was at the peak of her. I mean, you're like hotness. People will wink and say, "Oh no, I wasn't attracted," but they're all lying.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. I'm gonna have to wait for a week. You're not there, just so I can go to this place and really capture how terrible this place is.
Do you want to know something? When you're going to go, I'm in. We have to get the food to go so they don't shoot me when I'm in the door.
I was going
to
say, I got to mention your picture.
I'll
wait in the car. Okay. I'll wait in the car, and you go in and get me a sandwich and come out, and we'll dissect it.
Fair enough.
We have to do that.
You know? That's crazy.
So bad.
So, how was your wings? We were talking about the food, then we went on this whole angry
tangent. I love
them.
The Cajun wings are great. They're really fried, skin on, no batter, and then dusted in their Cajun spice, which is probably bought from some food service company, but it's just really good. And then the drummies are skin on, battered, and hand dropped, and they're not frozen. It's a good product. And also, I happen to love wings. And you know, a couple places famous for wings, Art Songs, and then there's that other place that was over here closed. The one on.
It'll come to me.
I'm the wrong guy.
The 30s, over by where Corner Table was and is. And,
oh, it's gonna kill me.
You know that place?
Yeah.
The one place with the wings.
The one place with the wings.
Oh, it's all they served. They were a wing
restaurant.
They closed. So.
Well, I know you got to get going because you're a busy man.
He's got other things going on.
He's going
to another birthday party with
he's going out.
We have a whole bunch of TV shows. I'm in the middle of Bizarre Foods, is currently in premieres on Travel Channel.
And today is an actual they've got a whole marathon.
Today's the big marathon, yeah. And tonight is the premiere of the Detroit episode. But yeah, the President's Day Marathon is a Bizarre Foods marathon. It's very nice. I'm doing pilots for a whole bunch of new shows this coming spring. I'm sure, you know, ratings have never been better for Bizarre Foods, so I'm sure they'll want to do that. So we'll have two shows up and running, I think, simultaneously on Travel Channel. You know, the Food Fests, my third book comes out in September. What else do we have? We got a lot of stuff.
MSP Mag.
Yeah. I write for Delta Sky. I'm a food editor there. I'm a food editor at Food and Wine Magazine.
Yeah, I knew that.
There's a lot of other stuff I got.
Are you doing Epcot Food and Wine Festival this year?
I'm going to do it again.
You know when you're going to be there? Because I'll be down there.
MEA weekend.
I'm going to miss him by a week.
Last year it was Halloween, and my wife said we have to be home for Halloween and down there MEA weekend.
Gotcha.
That makes sense.
But I do the Aspen Food and Wine Festival. Yeah. This year's the 30th. This weekend I'm in South Beach at the South Beach Food and Wine. Austin Food and Wine in April. New York Food and Wine in October. There's five or six festivals that I try to do every year. We're going to be curating our own food trucks tour through eight cities this summer.
I think you're going to do like the Dead style, just following them in a van.
Pretty much.
That'd be a good couple weeks to do it.
Yeah.
And I've got my web series, Appetite for Life, is on the MSN.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did the web series, but I was going to say the only thing you're not doing at this point is podcasting.
That starts today. Do you want to know something?
I would love to know
something. You guys said, hey, let's do it. And my staff said, you know what would be fun? Do their 200th episode, and then let's you and I do a local podcast and bury these fuckers. Let us just euthanize them, take their audience, and what little bit
it's a very small audience, so it's easy.
Not at all. Here's the deal.
This is probably the end of it.
Here's the deal. Somebody said to me, they said, why aren't we doing a podcast? And I said, I don't know. And I did radio in the Twin Cities for a long time, and I've done some national radio and stuff like that, and some Sirius XM stuff now. And I was sitting there, I came back from one of my recording sessions for XM, and the folks in my office said, we ought to do our own podcast. And I said, well, I don't know, it's too much, you know, how do we grow the audience, and you know, we're getting the game too late. And they pointed out to me that with, I think, between the four Facebook accounts and two Twitter accounts that I have, we have like 1.5 million people checking us every day in social media. That doesn't include our websites or anywhere else that we could possibly promote it. They said if we just got 10% of those people to listen once, that's over 100,000 listeners, which would make it a very popular podcast.
Absolutely.
And I was like, okay. Let's do that, because I miss radio. I love doing this kind of thing. There's nothing better than sitting around talking and telling stories.
Awesome. So people will be able to find that on the website?
I don't know where we're going to put it, but they'll throw it out there. And you know.
We'll make sure we tell our five people.
Well, next time I come on, we'll have to have you on our podcast.
Absolutely. We'll totally do that.
I'm going to make you buy lunch, though, at a very expensive restaurant.
Maybe we'll get to go to Sea Change.
He went there without me.
Why'd you go there without him? I love Sea Change.
I was on vacation.
Yeah, it was. There was a timing issue where we had other guests on, and very similar. We had a guest on. Let them choose.
Who chose Sea Change?
The guys who do Gastronograda.
Yeah,
we had those guys on, and they chose Sea Change because that was one of the restaurants that they were that was going to be part of the show. And it just so happened that it happened to be the week that he was gone. So I've been rubbing it in his face ever since.
Disastrous. Disastrous.
He still holds it over. Yeah, it happened like a year and a half ago.
It's that in the Vincent Burger. I just keep holding over your head. See, he's upset about it still.
You know what I had this weekend in Vegas? I had the Fleur Burger that Hubert Keller sells for $5,000 at Fleur in Las Vegas.
Is it going with like the gold leaf on it? No gold leaf.
It's pretty crazy.
$5,000
Well, you get a lot of stuff with
it. You get a car with it?
It comes with a used
You get the box that the truffles came in, you get the bottle of Petrus, which lists for $5,300 on his menu, so you actually save money.
So it's a burger. Yeah, it'd be silly. It's like silly not to do it.
It'd be silly not to get the burger that comes with it. But he just made me the burger with foie and Madeira sauce and black truffle. It was so good. But he made it himself for me in his kitchen. Stood in his kitchen and ate it. And it was divine.
Just over the sink?
Kind of.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, my God. Kind of.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
We live different lives.
We do. Well, maybe if we come on.
I was making TV. I was shooting. You know? It wasn't a lot. I will say, I have a great job.
You have the best job.
I have a really good job.
I want to be you when I grow up.
I have a really good job. I had to pinch myself this week in Las Vegas. That's a dirty, naughty city. And, you know, we went to a club where it was.
I like where the story's going.
The Sports Illustrated girls were there for the swimsuit promotion, and it was a Fashion Week event, and I was shooting the show, and there was just a lot of stuff. President's Week, it was a big weekend in Las Vegas. And, of course, we had to do the standard, you know, B-roll in some hot nightclub. So the hotels are just dying to have us come in, and so they had all the, you know, their hot regular folks there. And until you've had Russian supermodels high on ecstasy licking the top of your head, and they did not have to bend down because they're all taller than me in their Louboutins, clicking and clacking their way across the dance floor because they saw TV cameras and started telling me in Russian what big fans they were of the show and licking the top of my head, I never wanted to leave. Never, ever, ever wanted to leave.
I know.
But granted, I'm not going to get that style.
Can I tell you something? I'm never going back because it's too dangerous.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. My wife went there for work for 2 weeks, and I was there for a week, and it was.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love great food, great town.
I came back a changed man.
Yeah.
But,
you know, capitalism is alive and well in Las Vegas.
That is true.
Of all kinds. I'm going too. I got to go back to work.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up real quick.
Yeah.
Here, Andrew, again, huge.
Bye, sweetie. See ya.
Huge thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
It was a lot of fun. And just to see Dave all giddy was even more fun for me.
It was great to meet you guys. Do I get invited back? I'm serious about the rye thing.
Anytime.
Pick me up at the office. Throw me in that car that you have that goes to pick him up. We'll go there. Yes. We'll order a couple of sandwiches.
Absolutely.
And we'll do a little special in the car.
I think we should totally do that. So yeah,
take out with Andrew Zimmern in my car.
You got one website we can send people to, just andrewzimmern.com. Is that the best?
All right, that's the what, you know, and foodandwine.com has me, Delta Sky, MSP Mag, my local blog is on.
Just do a
Twitter,
just a big thing.
Follow me at Andrew Zimmern, you know.
Nice.
Be happy to have him on.
You can anytime, come on
every week.
Anytime.
Really.
All right.
That's right.
Good deal. Well, I'm only in town a couple weeks a year.
But okay.
You know where to schedule
exactly.
It.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
So, yeah, but I'd love to go eat a sandwich.
Absolutely, man.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, we will let you take it. We're going to at least shake your hand before
you
take off.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
See you guys later. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
All right. So we should probably wrap up here.
Yes,
before we get drafted into something else here. Again, huge thanks to our sponsors, HopChart.com. And also, big thanks before I forget, Dusty and everyone over at Foodworks for helping make this happen so smoothly. It's amazing.
Thank you for listening to our 200th episode.
Yes, thank you for listening. Yeah, all 200 episodes. It's honestly, we could end now, and I'd
this
be
is
happy.
The high water mark.
I would be happy.
This is it.
So, but we won't be ending anytime soon.
Right.
We still have most of St. Paul to deal with.
Right.
So
I think what we have to deal with.
We got to deal with it. Right. Yeah. If you're already not following Andrew, you can still follow us. Well-Fed Guide. It's a Well-Fed Guide FBG. To Life at. Hold on, one thing at a time. Facebook.com/WellFedGuideToLife. I'm all screwed up. Facebook.com/WellFedGuideToLife. Foursquare.com/WellFedGuideToLife.
Twitter.
It's Twitter.com/WellFedGuideFPG for Fancy Pants Gangsters. That's the network. We have to include that because WellFed Guide to Life is too long. And yeah, I got nothing else to say. I think I might need a cigarette, actually.
I actually do need one.
Yeah.
I think you've got some in the car.
I think I might do. And stay tuned for us clandestinely reviewing rye, I guess. I don't really know what happened there.
Andrew Zimmern wants us to pick him up at the office. Let's go hang out.
I think that's what we got to do. All right. Thank you guys very much for listening. If this is your first show listening to us...
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if this is your first show, you got 199... other ones to listen to. If you listen to them in reverse order, it just gets worse.
Right. So don't start at number one.
Yeah, start about episode 30.
Right.
30, 40, something like that. Then the rest are all good. I got nothing else to say, but damn. So we'll just leave it at that. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.